All right, Ash.
Yes, Taryn. Hello.
Hello. I'm going to hit you with a fact.
Okay.
Or fiction. That is just for you.
That's always how you say fact or fiction. Fact, deep pause.
Or fiction.
Or fiction.
Because you never
know. It's always the same pause. It's always the same tone.
What can I say?
Funny.
What can I say? Did you know that naps can save your life?
I believe that. I fully believe that.
Queen.
I love a good nap.
Queen of naps. Research has found that a midday nap can make you more creative, focused, and fresh for the rest of the day. Mm. But one study also found that it can also reduce your risk of heart attack. 37% less likely to die from a heart attack.
The thing is, I think you have to be good at naps. Like, you can't let yourself sleep for more than 15, 20 minutes max. Because
the power nap.
If you do, then all of a sudden when you wake up, you're groggy, your head hurts, everything's off, you don't know what day it is, and that's a bad nap. So you got to be a good napper.
All this to say, if anyone ever gives you crap again about taking a midday nap, you can just say, I'm just trying to live forever.
Who the heck gives me crap for a midday nap?
I don't know. If they did.
They better not.
If they did.
I'd kill them.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to UA, Unsolicited Advice. I'm Taryn. That's Ash.
Me.
Ash. We are, you know, we're on a high. We just had a live show last week, but for you listening, it would be 2 weeks ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I feel like we should just, like, debrief how that was for us.
Oh, my God. It was incredible. We were terrified.
Yes.
Terrified. I was so scared. Also, just like ticket sales and stuff were really down up until like the week before.
Yeah.
So everyone showed up literally like 7 days before our live show, and I was a wreck. I thought for sure no one was coming. I thought for sure no one was going to come, and it was going to be a Comic-Con situation. If you guys remember, Comic-Con, there was like four people in the audience.
R.I.P.
And it genuinely traumatized me. So I was like, I will not be doing that again. But we had committed to the live show, so we were going to do the damn thing either way. And we sold roughly 200 tickets. Mm-hmm. It was a great show. Taryn and I flowed really well. Everything from like setup to teardown went super smooth. We had a great team. And it was just so much fun, like finally being able to put faces to some of our listeners, mm-hmm. Getting to meet people who have been listening from like day one. We even had a girl like fly out from New York. It was so crazy.
That's so nuts.
Finally being able to like hug and chat with some of you guys. And just like, again, put faces to some of our listeners. Like we always, whenever we record, we're just staring into each other's eyes. And I kind of forget, I do this with my YouTube channel too. I kind of forget that real people watch / listen. And it was just so cool to get to chat with you guys and hear all the cool ways that, that our podcast has been able to help you.
Yeah, I think like I have so many different favorite things about that day. Mm-hmm. I think for me, like hearing the response of like when we would say something shocking, people would be like, or if we would say something funny, people would laugh. And
yeah,
it was so cool to like feel that like interactive part.
100%.
And then also just seeing each one of your faces, getting to like hug you, and it was such a beautiful night.
Oh my god, we laughed, we cried.
Yeah.
Taryn did her Harry Potter impersonation, which was a hit.
I still want to know who sent that in.
Yeah, our stories were phenomenal. It was just an extra good show. And you know, if you guys want us to do another live show maybe in your area, then definitely hit us up, message us, comment in our Instagram, DM us, let us know where you're at so that it can help us kind of pinpoint where to have maybe a next show. Also, you guys have been killing it in the merch category. We brought out a brand new anonymous hoodie in like a sand color, like a tan color. And she's gorgeous. Everyone loves it. It looks good on everyone. Guys, girls, everything in between. Not only is that available on our merch website, which we will have linked in the description box of this episode, but we have some old merch that has been added as well. We have the mug that is still available, and the anonymous black hoodie, like the OG.
The OG.
Is still there. And if you want to swag up on some UA merch, mm-hmm. don't hesitate. Now is the time.
Mm-hmm. I got someone wrote in saying wanted to share their live show experience.
Ooh.
So I thought I would read it. This is her. Do you remember her?
Yes.
Yes. I remember I said I liked your shirt. Uh-huh. Okay. She said, "Hey, Ash and Taryn, my name is, I think it's Julissa. Julissa. We met after the show. Not sure if you remember." We do remember. "But I just wanted to let you guys know how much I enjoyed your live show. I was super excited the entire week in anticipation for the show. I loved watching the pre-show dad joke compilation. Seeing you two record live was so cool and felt like it was a huge group of friends just interacting." Which
I did
feel
like that. I agree.
"I hope you'll do more live shows in the future. I'll definitely come. P.S. My favorite moment was Taryn's Harry Potter moment."
Right.
LOL. Love, Julissa.
Yeah. One of the first things I did was post that Harry Potter moment because I was like, the world needs to see this. And not the world. The rest of the listeners needed to see it because everyone has heard you do it. And I thought it was such a cool thing that they wanted to hear it again. So I immediately posted it. And I was so happy with how that turned out. I literally, the second I saw Taryn commit to doing it on stage, I like grabbed my phone so fast.
Yeah,
was like,
you did.
Okay, go.
You know what's funny is that the next day I put on that movie, the first Harry Potter, mm-hmm. and Ryan came home. Ryan's my brother who he's my roommate right now too. He came home and was like, "Oh my God, I haven't watched this movie in forever." So we're watching it and then that scene comes and I was like, right, this is the scene. And we're watching it and like I realized I missed like five lines. So every time like they would say something and it wasn't something I say, Ryan would be like, "Do better, Taryn, do better." Like you failed.
I could not quote it to you. So the fact that you remembered the majority of it is still just super
it's
impressive.
It's been a while since I've done it. So
yeah.
Anywho.
What have you been up to, Taryn? What's new?
I'm a little out of it today because I had a biopsy yesterday on my neck.
Which you just stopped texting me.
And I was like, done. Those like take it out of me. I've talked about it on here before, but I have like two lumps on my thyroid. So I've been, this is like my fourth biopsy I've had to do on them. Because the last one came back like suspicious. So they just want to like double check and make sure, you know, it was just like a bad sample, not necessarily anything's going on. So the doctor, because I hate going so much, he prescribes me a little happy pill, which literally like it knocks me out. So like in the waiting room, I fell asleep sitting up, which I never in public do.
That
I fall asleep
you
sitting up.
Texting me.
And then after the biopsy, like my mom drove me straight back. I had like an ice pack on and just like knocked out. So, but I'm still pretty sore and just kind of like blah. But other than that, I'm so glad that's done because that's been like background stress in my mind because they schedule them so far in advance. It's like,
it's
okay,
like 3 months.
Yeah. So it's been 3 months of just in the back of my head being like, oh, my God, here comes the needle. So I'm good. I did it now. And now I have to wait like 2 months before I have my doctor's appointment, which is
crazy.
Lovely. But yeah, that's pretty much the only thing.
Medical
going
timelines
on with me.
Are ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yes. Absolutely.
So stupid.
What about you?
Well, you know, in the world of Ashley, I've had a few accomplishments. I finished 1883, which I have
been. I don't
know
what that is.
It's prequel to Yellowstone.
Yellowstone is the one where the girls go to an island?
No.
The one where it's like a town?
Huh?
What is Yellowstone?
Yellowstone is the west, the Montana.
Oh,
not
yeah,
Western, but like it's incredible. It's incredible. Okay. I basically binged all five seasons over the last 4 months, 3 months. And then 1883 came out this year. So in preparation for 1883, I watched all five seasons and then watched 1883 because that's how they wrote
it. Which do you like better?
I didn't think I was going to like 1883 that much. It was phenomenal because it's like his great great grandfather's story of crossing through like the Oregon Trail and any of that kind of stuff. Just in general, I'm like Westerns. It's not really my vibe. Yeah, it's not really my thing.
You're either like into Westerns or you're not.
But the whole thing with Yellowstone and 1883 is that it is extremely dramatic, graphic. People die.
Yeah.
All kinds of things. So very very proud that I finally finished that.
I'll have to start it.
Yeah. So, so good.
Do you still recommend Yellowstone before?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's how they wrote it that way for a reason.
Cool.
Very excited. Like, probably, I've been waiting for a really long time, but this Monday is House of Dragon.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I'm going to literally, like, I'm Sunday night, me in my pajamas, starting House of Dragon that I've been waiting for such a long time. And what's funny is I realized I followed a Game of Thrones podcast years ago, back when I was in college, and I would listen, like I would finish an episode and then listen to the podcast that like break it down. And I think they're going to be doing the same thing.
Shut up. That's sick.
For this. So that's really cool. Very excited.
Are they releasing like the whole thing or is it like one episode a week?
I'm assuming one episode a week, okay. But I don't know.
I can't wait.
I don't know.
Game of Thrones is one of those shows. There's certain shows that, like, it took so much emotionally out of me to watch them. Mm-hmm. Like, Sons of Anarchy was one of them where I'm like, I still haven't ever, like, gone back and rewatched because I'm like, I feel like I would have to, like, prep myself to, like, be able to rewatch.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would want to, but for this next show, but I don't think I can.
I rewatched a lot of it with you. And then I rewatched a lot of it with another friend. I haven't rewatched them all. And I never rewatched like the last two seasons.
Yeah.
But it is very taxing. I thought about like starting it over. I saw last year that they were doing House of Dragon. And I was like, oh yeah, maybe I'll restart it. Nope. That's a long commitment.
That's a big commitment.
I couldn't do it.
That's like years. Ugh. Yeah. Cool. Well, should we, you know.
I'm just over here busting out the TV shows, as you know, my favorite thing to do.
Well, and also you started Blackbird.
And I started Blackbird, yesterday.
So good.
So I heard from multiple people and two podcasts that this is an incredible show. Mm-hmm. And My Favorite Murder was discussing it.
Because it's a true story. A couple weeks ago,
yeah. And it was just, it's highly recommend. It's really, really good if you like anything true crime.
Yeah.
The acting's amazing. I didn't realize Ray LaMontagne. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, he passed away.
Yeah. In May. That's crazy.
I feel like Blackbird is very like Mindhunter, like that type of show.
I said that verbatim for the suspect.
Yeah.
Guy is giving what's his name? Like not a run for his money, because they're both incredible, but like he's very unnerving.
It's very like slow moving, like things are slowly being revealed, but it's not like boom, someone died. Ooh, this happened. Like it's very slow moving. I have a feeling, because I'm only on like episode 4, I feel like the end of the season is going to get nuts.
Oh, I think it's going to be so crazy.
So I'm a little like, ah.
Also, people like that are just fascinating, where you're like, I can't tell if you're like genius level smart, or
someone's taking advantage of you because you're like, you have a developmental delay.
Underdeveloped, yeah. And someone is using you.
Yeah.
It's very unnerving because you can't tell. Because every once in a while, he'll show like this side of him, and I'm like, wait, he's a smart cookie. Like he might be clever and like convincing everyone that he didn't do it. But then every once in a while, I'm like, oh no,
yeah, no. But guys, this is like really exciting for me, because one of my main things that happens when my anxiety levels are bad is I can't watch new things. Mm-hmm. And over the past week, like without even realizing it, like I like finished my apartment. I finished all these projects. I like started shopping again for stuff, mm-hmm. like clothes and stuff. And then I noticed like I've been looking and starting new shows, because I think like my anxiety is like leveling out.
Off, like, Taryn.
I feel like I'm getting like slowly just healthier in general. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was really cool. Like last night, me watching that and then like texting you like, oh my gosh, have you watched the show? It's so good. I'm like, that's what we used to do all the time.
Yeah.
But for so long, like I've just been watching like New Girl, Friends, like How I Met Your Mother.
Because you have been on
it helps with anxiety.
Watch the same thing over and over again. Kick.
Yeah. Which has been something I've always done. Like I like background stuff that like is familiar.
Right.
But I think this was like a more extreme level of that, because it does help with my anxiety. But yeah, so.
Well, congrats.
She's coming back.
Welcome back.
She's coming back.
We've missed you. Well, you guys already know the drill on what's coming up next. It is Tearing It Up time. This is the segment in the show where we get to laugh at you guys and all the silly things that you do.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and get into it. This one's a little long, so I'm going to, don't mind me while I speed read. Hi, ladies. This is my absolute favorite podcast. I don't know what I would do without you two and this incredible community that you've created.
We love you.
Should we take a moment for us?
Our community is the best.
It really is. It's a good one. I'd like to stay anonymous, but you guys can know my name.
Okay.
Was that too loud?
It was a pretty loud whisper.
Oh, no. Michaela can bleep it.
Michaela can, yeah. She's got it.
She continues, I'm 20 years old, a junior in college, and an Enneagram 1. Wow. I know all about you.
Yep. We know you.
Last October, my little cousin asked if I could chaperone her 11th birthday party at a local ice skating rink.
Ooh.
She was at the lovely age where her parents are the lamest people in the world to her, and thought her cool college cousin would be the best option for an ice adult supervision, since her parents insisted on her having some kind of supervision.
Of course. How old is she? 11?
Yeah. Little did she know, I was about to become an even worse chaperone than she could have possibly imagined. Dun, dun, dun. I hadn't been ice skating in years, but figured I had a pretty good balance from back in my competitive gymnastics days and would be able to figure it out. Everything started out smooth. The kids were having a blast, spinning in circles and racing each other while I slowly wobbled my way around the perimeter, keeping an eye on them. It's Me.
Accurate.
Last time I went ice skating, that's exactly what I did.
Oh, yeah.
After a while, the birthday girl's parents called the group into the party room to have some cake and open presents. But as I hung back to make sure everyone got off the ice okay, one of the kids decides to challenge me to a race. It's go time. She writes, in all caps, "I have to obliterate this child to keep my cool cousin points." We line up and bam, I'm flying, skating faster and steadier than I ever have in my entire life. But this little 11-year-old is still crushing me until he tips over and unfortunately slides across the ice directly into my path.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Not the blades.
Oh my gosh.
I panic and do something I absolutely cannot do. I jump directly over him.
That's a terrible idea.
Terrible idea, but also very impressive for
that. Remember, she made it.
She was circling the perimeter.
She didn't, and she just sliced him in half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The jump itself goes surprisingly well. It's the landing that was a little rocky. I crash hard and I crash face first, bouncing my head off the ice. But I managed not to hit the kid, thank God. Feeling the eyes of the entire ice rink on me, I jump up immediately, and we both quickly skate off to the party room, incredibly embarrassed. I walk in, enthusiastically joining in on the singing of Happy Birthday and making my way towards my cousin, excited to brag about technically crossing the finish line first, when I hear a gasp, followed by screams. Before I can figure out what's happening, children and parents are running out of the room, staring at me like I've morphed into a monster without realizing it. My uncle runs up and is asking frantically what happened. Confused, I ask, "What are you talking about?" He pointed to the mirror in the corner of the room and ran to go get towels. What I saw was honestly terrifying. In my embarrassment after the fall, I hadn't stopped to check and see if I was actually okay. I had a decent size gash on my forehead, and it was dripping blood all down my face. And I was definitely concussed, as one of my pupils turned out to be significantly bigger than the other.
I was going to say, she had to have been like phased, because how do you not feel blood dripping all over your face?
The only example I have in my life is in seventh grade, I fell face first on asphalt. I think I mentioned, I talked about it in the story once. Yeah. And I'm not kidding, I had a giant scab from my eye to like my chin. I, out of pure embarrassment, I like shook myself off and kept saying I was okay. And I had the same thing happen. Like I had parents come towards me and like people like staring at me because I had blood dripping down my shirt.
Oh my gosh.
But I didn't feel it because I was like, I'm fine. Like, that's, it was just like crazy. Pure adrenaline like turns off some things. Yeah. You know? Once I saw it in the mirror, I started crying.
Yeah. Once you're like, oh, I'm hurt.
Once it competed like, and I saw the blood, then I felt it. It's so weird. Yeah, but that's definitely a thing that happens.
Wow.
She continues, "I looked like a legit horror movie monster. The kids stared at me in terror, and I was escorted out of the party and to the hospital to get stitches and an evaluation. I ended up with 12 stitches and a mild concussion, but I was the top gossip of my cousin's middle school for about 2 weeks and absolutely won that race. I just can't show my face on that ice rink again. All the employees know me as the girl that traumatized an entire birthday party and forced them to clean up her blood off of the ice. Oof. Sorry if this was long, but thank you for all that you do, Anonymous."
Oh my gosh, that's intense.
I know. I was like, I mean, it's funny because they're 11.
Yeah.
So like anyone seeing blood would be like, oh my God, what happened? But like an 11-year-old seeing that much blood? Yeah. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like horror movie, like the person comes out of the woods with like blood dripping down their face, you know?
Yeah. She did add a little note at the end that I'm going to go ahead and read. She wrote, "You don't have to read this part out loud, but if you can, you want. I'm just super beyond excited for the October series, but please, please, please go back to reading at least 3 scary stories per episode. The series is my absolute favorite, and I would love for it to go on as long as it possibly can." I know exactly what you mean. If you guys have not listened to our October series, we highly recommend you give it a listen. It is so fun and spooky, and just like it makes you feel like it's fall and it's like the October season. Also, it's around the corner.
It literally
is. It's coming
is.
So fast.
No, it's literally here.
So I'm just going to go ahead and shout it out now. If you have a scary story, a spooky story that you want read, please send it to us. And in the title, hear me out, people, in the title, write October series. I want it very clear bold font October series, and then you can title it whatever you want. But I need that first so that we can like categorize it and we can find it.
No, yeah, it's super helpful if it, you know, jumps out at us.
Yeah, we need it to literally reach out and grab us.
I cannot wait.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. For so many reasons, but like, I cannot wait.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Pumpkin stuff is already like everywhere.
Oh, it's here.
It's crazy.
The other day, I'm a big Bath & Body Works fan. The other day, I grabbed a Leaves candle that I had tucked away because I just didn't burn all of the 30 that I purchased last year. And I took a sniff.
You just wanted to feel something.
Just a little hit, yeah. You know? And it made me feel some type of way to the point that I literally like made my sister stop doing whatever she was doing and smell it too.
Yeah.
It made me so happy. And I'm so excited. And if you guys have been noticing any like October stories, like Instagram stories being posted, it's because I've been taking over a lot lately and I've been posting them.
Ashley, when Ash is into something, she's into it.
I have been on like on the Instagram kick lately, and it's been fun chatting with you guys.
I think it's like the gem of our show.
Oh,
minus
for sure.
Us. It goes us and our beautiful hearts, then October series.
Yeah. Superior to all.
I'm going to go ahead and go into my story. It's called Unexpected Medical Issues.
Oof. You good? Also, restart. I'm pissed. My blue bottle coffee is not what I ordered.
I'm so sorry. I know that severely affects
everyone, write them a strongly worded letter. Okay, continue, Taryn.
Okay. So my story is called Unexpected Medical Issues.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, ladies, I love you guys so much. I've really grown from listening to you guys. You are my favorite and most listened to podcast. Wow.
Wow. An honor.
That's an honor. I could go on and on about you two, but the story is kind of long. Anyways, my name is Lauren. I'm an Enneagram 2. I'm 18 and just graduated from high school. That is like the most like exciting and scary time. Ugh. When you're like jumping into like the real world.
I didn't know what the hell I was
like,
doing.
Like, what college are you going to? What major are you going to do? What's your job?
Know.
How are you going to pay for school? Like, where
that
are you going
to
live?
That was my answer to
like,
everything. I don't know.
What's
your major?
Took us a while.
And what sucks is at that age, that's what everyone asks you.
Yep.
What school are you going to and what's your major? I said, I'm probably not going to school because I suck.
Yeah.
And if I'm not going to school, I don't have a major.
Yeah.
So I literally, people would ask me that 24/7 and I would just be like, I hate this.
I don't know.
I feel less than because I don't know, but...
Yeah, I do remember that, too. Like, when everyone was getting their, like, acceptance letters and things, I was like, but yeah, anyways. Okay. For many years now, I've dreamed of becoming a firefighter. I've always known it's what I was going to do after graduating. I've read books, trained, watched documentaries, prepared my body for the job, and prepared myself as much as I can to start official training. I was planning on doing real classes and official training starting next winter. I've saved up money and planned my life around it. The job can require shifts that can be 48 hours long, so I plan my life as if I'd be doing those shifts. Mm-hmm. She sounds like super go-getter.
Yeah.
You're definitely a two-wing three. Wouldn't you say?
Two-wing three or three?
No, she said she's a two.
Oh.
I'm saying, like, her wing has to be a three. Because she's very, like, attack, you know? I mean, or a one, I guess, too.
I know. I was going to say it. Either could go either way.
Okay. I've always been healthy and taking care of my body. I never thought I'd have any problems. But about a month ago, we found out that I have a certain issue with my lungs, and it doesn't seem like the thing to go away on its own in a few weeks. It looks like it might be a permanent thing. I immediately thought of how it would affect my job. Turns out that unless some medical miracle happens, I legally cannot be a firefighter with the disease for my safety, my team's safety, and the safety of those I'm saving. I really need advice on how to move on from this. This has been a long dream of mine, and I was always so dedicated. As a female trying to be a firefighter, I have heard it all. I've been told I won't make it, that I'm too weak, or that I'm just trying to prove a point. And my personal favorite, you know, you don't just fight fires. It's a really tough job, and you see some really scary things.
Ew.
I love people. That has always been extra motivations to prove them wrong, but I hate how maybe they will be right. It's been my dream to be out there and saving people. I really love helping people, and I can't picture anything being anything but this. How do I move on, and how can I look for a new job from scratch? If you get the chance to read this, it would be amazing. Love you, ladies. Love, Lauren.
Lauren.
This cut me so deep because I think a lot of people end up like not being able to necessarily do the things they're passionate about, mm-hmm. but they can still like exercise their passions, right? Like,
yeah.
I might not be a famous singer, but I can sing and like do things with music that I love.
Yeah.
You know, same with you with drumming, and like all of us have passions that we like exercise, but this is like not just a passion, it's a career choice, mm-hmm. and something that you've put so much time and effort in, and like you had your life set, like mm-hmm. your plan was set, your goals were set. So like to uproot this is such a drastic thing, and I hope like Lauren, you give yourself space to think of it in that way and to mourn it, because this is a very heavy thing to come to the realization of, you know?
Yeah. I think obviously that's a huge loss. It's something you've been dreaming about for forever. It's your dream job, and it's something you've been planning for, like actually planning for a long time. So I'm very sorry that that's not going to happen for you. However, there are so many amazing ways that you can still help people in that field. And obviously you don't have to do this, but there's like people that pick up the phone for an emergency response call, you know, and those are still really amazing qualities to be able to help people in an emergency. So maybe there's some way you can make a list of other ways to help people and make a difference in that way that don't require, you know, a perfect set of lungs.
I think too, like, I mean, it sounds very much like you're not really like, it's not for sure what's going on. So I would too, like, I would get multiple medical opinions. I would find out for multiple departments because, I mean, I'm sure like with firefighting and being like in smoke and things like that, like they might have a stricter policy with like lung capacity than maybe, you know, like EMS or like even like being like a detective or like, you know what I mean? Like there's so many other ways that you can get involved, and you sound like a very active person. So I feel like I would definitely give yourself time to look for stuff, because if you just are like, okay, I accept this, and then you go just try to find like a desk job, unless that's a desk job that you're passionate about, that's going to be like a really hard transition.
Yeah.
So I would definitely focus on like really pushing the limit to find exactly what's going on within your body, what kind of things you can do to improve it, and then also finding out the restrictions on other fields that are in the same genre.
Yeah. Even like EMTs aren't required to do the amount of physical work that comes with being a firefighter. And you can still do a lot of the stuff that the firefighters do.
Yeah.
You know, responding to emergencies, healthcare, taking care of all of those things. Yes, it's a different field, but at least you're not having to run up a flight of stairs in 10 minutes, you know, run around a building in smoke that could affect your lungs. It's it's different, but it's still in the same category.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would be very fulfilling. Again, not pressuring you to be an EMT, but I think there's other avenues you can go about getting the same fulfillment that you're searching for.
Yeah. I think to make sure like you let yourself process this. I mean, it's something we talk about all the time. Like it's easy to just get straight into, okay, this is not happening. I'm going to like really try to avoid what I'm feeling, and I'm gonna like bury myself into something else. And I feel like that's an easy recipe to go down a path where eventually you have like resentment and these feelings come up. So I think definitely taking your time to mourn this when, again, when it's for sure a like you cannot do this, because it sounds like there still are moving pieces, because I'm a firm believer in not stressing about things unless you have to, because for me, you know, like this stuff with like the lump in my throat, right? It might be bad. It might be. But the fact of the matter is I don't know. And nothing that I can do would control the outcome.
Right.
So for me, why would I spend all these days just upset and crying and freaking out until I actually get an answer of what I know? Because if the answer is, nope, you're right, it was just a bad sample, I'm glad we double-checked, you're good, then all of this time, I, like, was stressed. I was putting stress in my body. I was, like, upset. I was missing out on just living life. And every day is precious. So for me, I'm a firm believer in that, of just resetting and reminding yourself, like, hey, as of right now, there's nothing I can do, but I can control how I'm going to be in this moment, you know? So I would definitely be diligent about finding out stuff, but also try to have peace in the meantime. And then, but if it does come to this is like a hard no, then let yourself have time to cry, to scream, to yell, to be angry, to process it with people you love, because unless you can like mourn that loss, you're not going to be able to move on to like a new future and be able to give it your all, which you sound like the type of person who needs to give it their all.
Absolutely.
But we will definitely be thinking about you. I think too, like the more I like in college was like trying to find next steps, a lot of times I would just like research things. I would watch YouTube videos about different types of jobs. I would take like elective classes, and it kind of like helped me to see, I might not be like a psychologist right now, but in my line of work, I do a lot of like sessions with these families and helping them through stuff. In my podcast, I do a lot of talking with people and trying to, you know, just make people feel heard and empathize with them. So it's like you can still use your passions in other ways. Sometimes it takes just like really like researching and opening like your radar to see like what else is out there. But
yeah,
I totally think you've got this. You sound like such a like passionate, amazing person who wants to change the world. And I think people who want to change the world, they do. So you just got to find your outlet for that. But we will definitely be sending all the thoughts and prayers. Keep us posted for when you hear about you know, all the results. But
yeah,
you got this.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NAY. Founded in 2012, NAY's mission was to find a solution for modern women. NAY specializes in making comfortable underwear, loungewear, and athleisure, with a huge emphasis on technology and innovation. Their clothing is actually made to live in. The word NAY means feeling good from the inside out, and their new Barely Zero collection is exactly that. NAY's Barely Zero collection has something for absolutely everyone, with styles that actually adapt to fit a wide range of body types. The cotton Barely Zero bodysuit fits anyone in the ranges 31.5 to 35.5, as well as an A cup to a D cup, with a waist from 24 inches to 31 inches and a hip range of 32.5 to 38.5. Guys, this thing literally shrinks and grows with you. NAY even has super trendy sets. The Barely Zero spaghetti strap wireless bra and brief set bundle is my favorite, and I love the color Tracely Almond because it is just so feminine and so chic. And honestly, the Barely Zero collection isn't just about comfortable, guys, it's stylish. Most of the Barely Zero bras are modest enough to wear as crop tops. I wear mine out with sweatpants all the time with nothing over the top of it. It just feels and gives sports bra. So head on over to NAY.life and start shopping, and you can use code ASH for 25% off your order, active from August 19th to September 19th. Again, that's code ASH for 25% off your order, active from August 19th to September 19th.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get into my story. I have it in, it's a little long, but again, I'm going to speed read through it. I have it in bold font, double space, 12 point font. It's going to be great. Hey, Taryn and Ash, you can call me Marin for the sake of this story.
Taryn.
I've been binging on this podcast for the last couple months while I work, cook dinner, shower, .. Basically, you ladies are always with me on my good days, making me laugh and cry. And you guys are even there on my bad days and making them better. Any woozle. I really hate that you made me read that. I appreciate what you guys do for so many people and creating an outlet to help so many others, specifically those who are younger and in their teens. I'm 32 now. Hey, age twin. But wish I would have listened to your advice when I was in those formative years. Maybe I wouldn't have the issues that I have now. Well, I wish I listened to my advice when I was that age too.
Right.
That would have been great. Today, I need some advice. I also have an infinite number of Tearing It Ups and can share many spooky stories for your October series. Basically, I'm like a box of Birdie Bot's jelly beans. I'm a mixed bag.
She is a very like colorful writer. Yeah,
she goes, I'd say chocolates, but while I'm sweet, I can also be salty, spicy, dark, and maybe sometimes my humor bridges on gross as well.
Love that. So me.
I know. Anyway, on to the advice. I apologize in advance that this may be long, but I'll try to keep it simple. But there are some significant details. She continues, I swear I'm colorblind and miss so many red flags until I am deep, deep in the middle of it. I got engaged back in 2020 and made plans to have a very small wedding in March of 21. Initially, my husband and I were okay getting married at a courthouse because he's very antisocial, and I just never saw myself having a big wedding, which is totally fine. But after my dad made some not so subtle comments about my grandma wanting to see me get married, we agreed to have a small function with literally 14 people, including our photographer, officiant, and us. Well, when we told my soon-to-be mother-in-law, let's call her Patty.
It's a great name.
Patty. She was so excited because, in her words, she was getting the daughter she always wanted, which I thought was sweet. Well, that turned into her trying to control literally every aspect of the wedding. Classic. We had opinions about everything, and not just good ones. She didn't think I should have picked a ball gown style dress for such a small occasion. She didn't like the venue. She didn't like the jewelry I picked out or my shoes. She made comments about my weight, which brought an eating disorder on that I still struggle with. Then, the cherry on top, she thought I would only look good if I had long blonde hair. I should note that I'm a natural brunette.
What?
And while I was working at home, had some fun with more exotic hair colors, I was never able to do so at work. I had royally screwed up my hair and had to fix it at the salon to the tune of $500, so I was not going to be touching my hair. That should have been a red flag, but I gave her the benefit of the doubt that she was just trying to live out the wedding she never had.
I wonder if the mom is blonde.
I'm like,
that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be. Or if her son's blonde.
She's like,
or
it's
she,
me.
Yeah. She's trying to live her. Yeah. Once we were actually married, my husband moved in with me. She would call him daily, crying because her husband was at work and she was lonely. She would make excuses like she has chest pain or can't see or she can't move to get my husband over there. Then came her husband, who got fed up with her and finally filed for divorce.
Ooh.
I have agreed to help her out with packing and cleaning the house to get it ready for sale. She has a really bad hoarding problem. She doesn't listen to advice she asks for and fights for anything that we say we want to get rid of. She has a multitude of issues, which never bothered me because I am an accepting person. Well, I've gone over there and cleaned her room. It's been so bad that you couldn't even see the floor. With the divorce, she's not been eating as much due to stress, so she's lost some weight. Talking about numbers is a huge trigger for me. I've told her this and have asked her politely to not bring up weight, but she apologizes and then a week later does the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. She did need to lose some for health reasons, but still, it's very hard for me to talk about and she's not acknowledging that. The day before Father's Day, I surprised her by ripping up old tile she needed replaced and laying down some brand new tile. When I proudly showed it to her, her words were, you didn't get all the tile, there's still some glue, and no thank you or anything like that. Now here's the worst part. She gets jealous of my own husband wanting to be with me, and has said on numerous occasions that once a month she would like him to come over in the morning and spend the day with her and sleep over. She said for Mother's Day she wanted to, in her exact words, have him come over, lay in bed with her, and watch hockey. And everything about that is really weird. She has mentioned that she would like someday for me to get a house that has an in-law suite behind it so that she can move in with us but not encroach on our space. Now, some details about myself. I suffer from anxiety, depression, and I'm actively battling an eating disorder. I'm in therapy, which helps a lot, but all of this extra stuff kind of counters all of the productive stuff. I have severe OCD, and seeing clutter makes me extremely, in all caps, anxious. Ugh. No joke, I deep clean my home a minimum of 2 weeks. Same page, girl. I try to talk to my husband about his mom, but he keeps defending her. I've mentioned that there is no way I want her living with us in the condo because we truly don't have space, and he still says that I'm being mean and need to be more understanding. But this is my condo that I got for myself before we even started dating. I value my personal space, and due to a lot of trauma, I don't trust people, like ever. So how would you ladies suggest that I handle this? How can I convey better my worries without fear of getting yelled at or told that I'm being mean? What would be the best way to stress that I would never want to come home if she moves in? And lastly, would I be wrong for making him choose between her or me? I don't want to sound like a monster, but I know I would be miserable if she lived with us. I pay all of the bills due to my husband not working, and honestly, I feel like I'm reaching a breaking point. I have a year left on my bachelor's and running on the condo board, working a full-time job, doing school full-time, while cooking every night and doing all of the chores. This is on me because I need things done a certain way. But I'm also taking care of six pets, and I don't have room for any more stress. If you read this on the podcast, thank you so much. And even if it doesn't make it on there, thank you again for providing an outlet like this. The end. Marin, first of all, you are in school full time. You're working full time. You have six pets. You're on the condo board, which is where she lives.
And the breadwinner.
Doing all the cooking, the cleaning, the chores. That is absolutely incredible. You are clearly superwoman. And let's just take a moment.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So you're doing the mostest. And I think you should really recognize that and give yourself a pat on the back for that, because you're killing it over there. What is not okay is your work and all your effort being overlooked, which I think is what your husband is doing. And I do want to say, I realize that that's a difficult situation to be in. Your mother being newly divorced, being needy, and then also like a newlywed, that's a tough place for your husband to be in. But it's not okay for him to push this on you and say you're being mean.
There's no way. Like, people are products of their upbringing.
Right.
This woman is a very hands-on, mm-hmm. overbearing, let me do it for
that's
you
her
person.
Baby boy.
So that's what he's grown up
used
with.
To. Yeah.
So then when he gets with a woman who is like
strong and independent,
I'm going to do everything in the house. Like, I'm going to cook, I'm going to pay the bills and whatever. I don't even think it's necessarily that he's unappreciative, which like he is without himself knowing it.
Right.
I don't think that's intentional.
Yeah.
I think to an extent, like it's almost an expectation he has because that's what he's grown up with.
Yes.
Like, my mom tells me stories all the time about like how her and my dad would get in things where she would like walk in and his mom would cook the meal, bring the meal. Then she would get up and clean the meal. And my mom would look at him and be like, get up and go help.
My mom said the same thing.
But it was like his mom always did that and she loved doing that.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes people react harshly because they're like, why are you getting mad? Like, because it's all they've known.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to take time helping him to see that.
Yes.
However, to me, this is like, you've hit your, like, this is go time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is going to be a definer of how the relationships are going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
Because if boundaries aren't drawn here and expectations aren't made clear here,
mm-hmm.
it's going to spiral super quick.
Yeah, the boundary line needs to be drawn now,
mm-hmm.
and needs to be, but I think your husband, I think you need to explain it to
yeah.
him. I don't, again, just like Taryn said, I don't think he's intentionally like pushing you aside or dismissing these problems. But I also wonder if you've actually sat him down and specifically said it like this, like, I have anxiety, depression, I'm actively battling an eating disorder, I'm going to school full time and working full time, I don't have time for your mom.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if you told him like that, how he would respond.
Yeah.
It's not that I hate your mother, I just can't take care of her along with everything else right now.
Yeah. And I think too, like, I mean, part of me would, I feel like if I'm putting myself in this conversation that's happening, I'd be like, at first, explain how it makes me feel. Like,
right.
I really don't feel comfortable. I think it would be really hard for me. This is something that I just don't feel like I can do. Like, explaining to him all the reasons why you feel like you can't do this. If he still overlooks it and is like, you're being mean, this needs to happen, then I would be like, okay, since clearly you're not understanding how I feel and you're full-blown showing me that you don't give a crap how I feel,
mm-hmm.
then I'll reword it a different way.
Yeah.
She's not living with us.
Yeah.
I will do whatever it takes to help get her situated somewhere, mm-hmm. to put her up in a cute
fix
little
her
apartment.
Place. Her house, I can do that
fully, but for me, this is a boundary that I'm drawing.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, him, it is his mom, it is his family, so you have to be aware that he might also draw a line that's like, I will not abandon my mom and she will. So it's like you have to figure out between the two of you.
Yeah.
What are the bottom line expectations from both of you?
Yeah.
And then what are areas you're willing to like meet and compromise? Because right. I feel like he's right on the verge of like a lot of the stuff you're reading. It was like, oh, once a month he wants him to come over and spend a day with her. I think that's great. I'm super close to my family. I think that's fine. But then came the and spend the night and stay with me.
Yeah.
Then it became like, oh, okay, that's this a little
is,
excessive.
This
like,
is not a. This isn't your baby boy anymore. This is someone's husband.
Yeah.
And she's expecting him to come home at night. You know.
She's losing a lot in a short amount of time. Like this sounds like a woman who likes to be in control of her people and surroundings.
Yeah.
So not only is she losing, that's for whatever reason, that's what moms view it as. Like,
yeah.
She's losing her son to this other person. Mm-hmm. She also is losing her husband. She's losing her home. It's a lot. So it's, I think
can be seen as a loss of purpose.
Yeah. I think there's room to try to exercise some empathy. Mm-hmm. I think that always helps me with people being ridiculous as I try to step back and be like,
what are they going through?
You're clearly not just choosing to be
She's
crazy.
Panicking.
Like you're going through something. So I think there's ways you can try to empathize and try to help her see like, hey, I do care about you, mm-hmm. but I also like, this is our new life and we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But a lot of open communication needs to happen.
And a very open, very honest conversation about what he's expecting to actually do for his mother mm-hmm. needs to be had. I think you should make it very clear. You love him. You love his family. And you want to be there to help his family. But also, in a very nice way, would highly suggest that you point out that you are literally doing everything.
Yeah.
You're the breadwinner. You're taking care of the house. You're cooking. You're cleaning. You have 6 pets.
Yeah.
If he's not working, he should be taking care of his mother on his own time and still coming home at night. He has the time to do it.
Yeah.
So I think you should make it very clear that you love his family and that you want to support his mother. But maybe even something you can say is, I'm not saying no to her moving in one day in the future, but right now,
I'm not
it's
out
a
of
no.
place. Yeah.
For the foreseeable 3 years, I am trying to finish school. I'm trying to get into a lifelong career. And I would like to do that and be settled before even thinking about bringing her into the house, you know? So that's kind of like, that's you giving a little bit towards like, we can talk about this in the future when I'm not losing my mind, which I think that's a win for him because that's you considering it possibly at another time when you're more able to handle it. Maybe you're in a better, healthier mental, physical place and your time's not being stretched like crazy.
You know, it's hard because
I think you need to ask him also to talk to his own mother about, because you mentioned that she was talking about weight numbers and you would ask politely and she's still not listening and she's being nitpicky. I do think at a certain age, older people tend to get mean.
Yeah.
I mean, all my grandparents were like that. And, you know, they've lived life. They've gone through stuff, you know, two as their own. But that's not okay that she talked to you like that. And I think the only person she'll listen to is him. And because you are his wife, he's the one who should be talking to her. I don't think you should have to say anything since you already have. I think you should ask him to tell her to knock it off.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, like, a marriage is a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you're a team. Yeah. And in a sports team, right, like if someone's playing and certain people are on the bench or, like, whatever it is, like, then you're encouraging them. You're, like, helping bring water. You're doing what you can to support the team because the overall goal is, like, the victory, right? Like, to have, like, a happy life where you're supporting each other and you have this partnership throughout. So the bottom line is expressing to him, I am pouring everything I can with my job, my time, my effort in the house, my effort in, you know, this lifestyle, my attention to you. And I feel like I'm empty because you're not pouring back into me with the simplest thing. Like, I'm not bitter at you because you can't give money right now. We're a partnership. Like, this is my turn to help support.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be a time in life where you're supporting, but the bare minimum of just supporting me like emotionally and having my back is like, that's all I'm asking. And I think explaining it in those ways where it's not as like, I think sometimes men hear, not all men, but most men hear when someone comes at them and is like, no, I don't want to do this and this, this, and this, they get very like, oh, okay, this is like a conflict. Where
I mean, even I can interpret it that way too.
Yeah, whereas like, I think sometimes you just have to talk to people in a way that they can hear you. Mm-hmm. And I think too, understanding, I mean, my mom has given so much to me in my life and sacrificed so much for me that I think that if she was in a place where she was needing to lean on me, I would of course be over, like without a doubt, be willing to make sacrifices to help her. But however, when you're married, that's not just you anymore, it's someone else. And I think it'd be one thing if like she had like a medical thing going on where she like literally needed someone to take care of her. I feel like that would be like a no question you could do it.
Life on the line situations. Yeah.
But I think right now she is feeling lonely. She is feeling all these things. So it's stepping in and being like, okay, like we're going to find you a beautiful place to live. We're going to find things community. In the community that you can get involved in. Friends. And we'll have dinner once a week and he'll also come over and have dinner with just you two once a week. Like whatever it is, finding something that works for both of you. But it's definitely, this isn't, with every issue, there's the overlining issue. And the overlining issue is, I think you guys are newly married and you're learning how to take your life and his life and
merge.
Also find where it needs to like respect and be compatible with each other. So. Yeah.
And some people have amazing relationships with their parents and they've always expected that one day they're going to be able to return the favor and take care of their parents one day. And then there's other people who can't stand their parents, who had very like hands-off parents and never in their in a million years would they have thought of taking care of them or having them move in, you know.
No, I've
met
so true.
I've met families who had their grandparents living with them, like she grew up grandparents in the house, and I've known other people who never once had extended family stay with them. And it's so different from person to person, culture to culture, family to family. So I think what you guys need to discuss also is like, what were his expectations with his parents getting older and what were your expectations? And again, like Taryn said, finding that middle ground where you can merge and be like, okay, I understand you have a desire to take care of your mother. I love that. I think that's a beautiful thing. It's something I appreciate and love about you. How can we do that without her moving in?
Yeah.
You know, this is my one line. This is something you're wanting / you have a desire for. Let's find that middle ground and make it work.
Yeah. No, fully. It's so sad. Like, I hate that because I know someday, like, I'm going to be a mother-in-law, right? And, like, I hate that, like, it's always the view of that, that there's, like, the scary relationship that's going to happen. And I think most moms, like, the things that they do is because they do love their kids and they want to be involved. And it's a hard – when you give, like, your entire life for this little, like, child that turns into, like, an adult – and then to watch them just go off and then live their own life, it's hard to remember how you were also once a child and like wanted to like be independent before you sacrifice. It's like a cycle, right? So it's so sad because I think if you strip it down, it's usually just someone who's like sad of letting go, or it's someone who's a product of their own unhealthy childhood.
Yeah.
So it's like you wish you could just like strip everything away and be like, okay, like what is the bottom line here? Like what's going on?
Yeah. But there's got to be middle ground where he doesn't have to spend the night all the time, where he can call her, you know, they can have phone calls. He can go spend the day with her once. Yeah. I don't mind, or her cooking him dinner once a week. Like that wouldn't bother me. There has to be some kind of middle ground that only you two can find on your own.
Oh, 1,000%. And that
is, I think, the end of our, that's the summary of this conversation, is that only you two can find what works best for you. What works with another couple might not fit you guys the best. So you have to have that conversation that Taryn was talking about.
Yeah. And with something like this too, like, I think sometimes it's good to be like, hey, have like a really, when you're having a really good day or like earlier in the week, be like, hey, I feel like we keep arguing about this and I hate that it's like causing tension. So like, how about Thursday, 7:00, I'll have dinner. Eddie will have dinner. And then afterwards, bring a notebook. I'm going to bring a notebook and let's talk about it.
Let's pour a glass and of wine. Let's discuss.
Yeah. The whole approach is like, you don't jump at each other. You hear each other. So if he says, this is how I'm feeling, you're like, okay, I hear that that's how you're feeling. Like, this is how I'm feeling.
Accept and acknowledge
this
that.
This is what I propose. And then make it fun. Like, write out a contract and sign it and just like find a way to deal with compromise and to deal with conflict in a way that's productive and not full like of emotion and like fights, you know, it can also be just productive conversations as well.
Yeah. And when he's telling you this or his mother's telling you this after you've come home from a long day at work and you have a ton of homework to do, like, of course, that's not the time to discuss it. So Taryn's right. Like, put it in the calendar.
Yeah.
Go out to dinner. Make a yummy dinner, like make it an easy sitting situation where you guys can sit, chat, get to understand each other's opposite sides and reasonings for saying yes or for saying no. And then I think the answer will come to you. And I think it might not be perfect. You might have to tweak it a little here, a little there along the way. But I think you'll find that middle ground. And I think this is just part of the growing pains of like newlyweds, of having to think about another human being before automatically saying yes to your mother who you love, you know. And you want it to be there for and take care of, which I do think is really cool of him to want to take care of his mom. I think it's really cool of you to allow that and to be there. But we love boundaries. And I honestly, I think once she understands what those boundaries are, what she can and cannot do, I think that'll help her a lot, too.
Yeah.
Knowing that her son will come visit her, but she's not allowed over at the house whenever she wants. You know, like, it's nice knowing rules.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So thank you so much for writing in. I'm so sorry you're going through this, but I think you guys will come out on the other end.
Yes.
A better couple because of it.
Fully. So I'm going to end with a knock-knock joke. Ooh. And what's amazing about this knock-knock joke. What did I say? Knock-knock joke?
Yeah.
Dad joke.
Oh, I got excited for the knock-knock.
I'm sure there's a knock-knock joke in here. At the live show, one of our beautiful listeners came up and gave me and Ashley a gift. And I loved it because mine was a dad joke book and Ashley's was this like inspirational book.
It was an inspirational Bob Goff book. I'm a big Bob Goff fan. I read it in college.
I love that. You just like know us so well.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Why does a queen carry a scepter?
To scepterate herself from her followers.
I mean, you got the right idea. Because everyone works except her.
Oh, that's good. that was really good. I'm actually proud of myself for picking up on what likely would be.
You're learning the like. There's a flow.
Yeah. Taryn is sharpening my dad joke skills for sure.
You still don't like them, but you're getting them.
That's not it. Yeah. Yeah. Guys, you made it to the dad joke. Congratulations. You already know we love you the mostest. Follow us on Instagram, on the YouTube, buy our merch. And was that everything?
I think so.
Oh, send in October stories. If you have scary stories, it is a spooky-tober season coming up, and we could not be more excited. So now's the time to submit them now so that we can get them all tucked away. And if you guys submit enough, maybe we'll do 3 stories a week.
I mean.
But that's on you guys. That's not on us. Yeah. You have to submit enough, okay?
It's true.
Talking to you. All right. We love you guys so much, and we'll talk to you guys in the next episode coming Monday.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small,
indoor or outdoor. You can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings. But I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.